Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi, and welcome to the podcast, and I really hope you're well. I am feeling super grateful that I am back from my trip. Some of you may know I had a couple of weeks away. I had to have a really hideous operation, a sinus operation, and some dental work, which was all caused by bad dentistry. I'll tell you the whole story one of these days. Well, maybe not here, but on my other website, my imperfectlynatural.com stuff, I'll share all the gory details and in fact, all of the holistic stuff that supported me, because I really was incredibly well supported through it all with the best kind of supplements and holistic stuff and the right mindset, which made a massive difference, I can tell you. And I do feel really blessed because, you know, I had the operation and healed super quickly, zero bruising. Oh, my goodness. Am I grateful for that? I thought I was going to be doing my event on August the 15th. We've got a live podcast event in London, and I thought I'd be having to kind of wear lots of scarves to kind of cover up a huge bruise, but amazingly, absolutely no bruising. So I'm very grateful for an awful lot of things. It's been a week of really focusing on gratitude, and it was quite an adventure as well, because it was a sinus operation that I had. I couldn't fly, so I had to travel back on trains across Europe, which I'm sure some of you do that stuff all the time, but I've never been particularly adventurous. So yeah, it was like being a student again, getting an Interrail pass and doing this fantastic kind of trip across different countries. I mean, it was time specific, and that made it slightly more stressful than if we were just chilling. But it was pretty amazing, actually. And the absolute silver lining to it all is that I got to stay over in Madrid, and that meant that I got to meet Susan from Holy Sober. Oh my goodness, what an incredible, amazing woman. As you know, I've chatted to Susan lots of times on the podcast, and it was just so fantastic to meet her in real life. We're cooking up some plans. It was just great that, you know, being sober just brings you all these incredible connections. It's really special. It really, really is. So yeah, literally my new best friend, and it was just amazing, amazing to meet her. So in the light of that, I mean, we were gassing way too much to actually record anything. But in the light of that, I thought, why not rerun a little section of a podcast that I did with Susan a little while back? Because the stuff that we were talking about then is really relevant right now. There's been so much recently going down about people feeling triggered by the weather. Somebody saying, oh, you know, it's raining all the time, and that just makes me want to kind of hole up and drink. And other people saying, well, I'm going on holiday and I'm really worried about the sunshine because that makes me want to drink. And it's such a thing, these outside triggers. And I remembered that, you know, I'd done this piece with Susan where we cover so much around how we can tame these triggers and how we can just step away from that FOMO, that fear of missing out, because really we're not missing out on anything. So as we're coming up to episode 250, a few of you have been telling me some of your favorite episodes. And of course, anything with Susan is always up there. So I thought I'd give you a little bit of a rerun of that. Just before I do that, just a reminder, those of you who've got tickets for our live podcast event on the 15th, I'm really looking forward to seeing you. Sadly, it is sold out unless there are returns. I think, I'm pretty sure that Sober by the Sea is also sold out. And but I will be putting in place another live podcast event, probably early October. So let me know if that's something that might be of interest to you, and going to get a date together real soon too for our Family Constellations event. So October, there's going to be quite a bit going on. So make sure you keep checking out thesoberclub.com, click on events, and you'll find out all the stuff that's going on there. But meanwhile, just enjoy hearing this again. It's a thing, isn't it? When you're early days, the sunshine is one hell of a trigger for your unconscious mind, you know, telling you, oh, that means you must go and have a drink.
Absolutely. I mean, it's funny because I suppose in Ireland and England, the weather has been so dreadful that I think that's an added impetus right now with the sun beginning to come out. But I often feel that women see sunshine and they say, hello, Chardonnay, as opposed to hello, sunshine, right? So it's hello, Chardonnay. And suddenly you and I are getting emails from women exactly as you describe. It's a huge trigger. It's a huge, huge, enormous trigger, not just for early days, but I think it's something that people address even in year two, you know, because there is that habitual behavior that we were all in, which was particularly in Ireland and England. Sun comes out, we don't see it all that often, and we immediately gravitate to that sunshine terrace, and we immediately in our head see a glass of vino, a beer. We see alcohol entrenched within sunshine. We don't see sunshine as an excuse to necessarily go sunbathing. We see it as an excuse to actually have wine in the garden or, you know, out on a terrace with friends.
It's really funny. True.
Yeah, and it's funny because, you know, when you're in early sobriety and you're thinking of all the possible triggers, sunshine isn't one that automatically springs.
We think of holidays, don't we? Like, oh, what will I do on my all-inclusive holiday or whatever? And most people kind of realize that they need to plan ahead for that. It's the spontaneity of the sunshine. And your unconscious mind says, this is when you need to be drinking. And of course, what that leads on to is this sense of that this kind of fear of missing out. What will I, you know, the FOMO that everybody gets. How will I miss out? What was that like for you in the early stages? Did you get any of that kind of fear of missing out stuff?
I think that because I live in a city at which you pass terraces every single day of the week filled with people, right? Spaniards take to the streets and the sun, we have a lot more sun than you do. Therefore, there's an awful lot more terraces and a hell of a lot more wine drinking, right? Yeah. what I felt was when I was passing these terraces, which I would pass every other day coming from work, in the beginning stages, I changed my route home so that I wouldn't have to sort of head on meet all of these people allegedly out in sunshine, clinking glasses, having a great time. And what I had to do for my own sense of, I suppose, sense of feeling of strength was that I had to actually be sort of really pragmatic and cold with myself and say, Susan, be real. You never went onto a terrace in your born days and had one.
Yeah, exactly.
You never went onto a terrace anywhere in any part of the world at any time of the day and had one glass of wine ever, right? You were always the one that wanted one. And sure, now we're settled in. Sure, we'll have another and we'll have another. And inevitably, that's exactly the moment when things went askew or went awry, or I maybe said too much, or maybe I overspoke, or maybe I argued with my husband. So I had to be really cold with myself in those early days, like days maybe 20, 21, 22. And I had to remind myself and think to the end of the sentence. The end of the sentence inevitably for me was the sun may have come out and I may have had a glass of wine, but it ended like a shit show.
Yeah, exactly.
50% of the time. Exactly. At least 50% of the time. Mm-hmm. Not every time, but 50% of the time. Mm-hmm. And is there anything worse than waking up the following morning on a Saturday, having had sunshine and a glass of wine with colleagues from work, and your awakening thought is, what did I say last?
Yeah, exactly.
I okay? How many times did I say to my husband, was I okay? And we had, this week, we had I had family in from the States and from Ireland, and we were on a sunshine-filled patio out the back, and there was wine being consumed. And I can absolutely honestly tell you, 4.5 years in, not only did I not have, I didn't have FOMO, I didn't feel I was missing out, but boy, was I glad on Thursday morning.
Exactly.
They were all dying.
Yeah, exactly.
Feeling ropey, feeling, you know, really unwell, as you do. You've been up late, you've had a few glasses, whereas I was bouncing around like a blue arse fly, happily hangover free, filled with joys of spring. So I knew myself that in the early days, the only thing that I did to save myself was to think to the end of the sentence.
Yeah, exactly. Play that tape
honest
forward.
With myself.
It's the glamorizing of it all, isn't it? It's the glamorizing. It's like, you know, we ought to know that alcohol is super bad for us. I find myself saying this all the time because I'm still incredulous that I didn't know. And even now, I don't know how often you listen to my podcast, but pretty much every week I read another news story out that's just come out about how alcohol is good for you. And the one I read out last week, oh my God, last week's one was sensational. It was, you must have seen the article, that those people who drink moderately have less chance of an early death than teetotalers. What BS is that? What BS is that? So that's the thing that would have kept me so stuck. Now, of course, when you get into small print, it's like, oh, but if you drink more than a certain amount, then that's worse. And then you definitely have an early death and everything goes to shit. But there's that line in the middle. There's the headline that effectively says drinkers are healthier than non-drinkers. There it is in black and white. On the headlines of the newspaper, you know, with a lovely quirky headline, I'll drink to that. Oh my God, that shit kept me stuck for years, years. Absolutely. And years and years and years. But it's not true. it's not true. It's absolute bollocks. The alcohol is just so awful at any level and any amount. So why do we crave it just because it's a sunny day? This cognitive dissonance that we have. It's incredible, isn't it?
Here's the thing. It's ironic that you're saying about that headline, because those things incense me, right? And I constantly feel that voice inside of me saying, shout louder.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, there's so many battles on so many fronts that we have to fight to de-glamorize any form of alcohol and to follow the Canadian lead of there is no amount of alcohol that's
Yeah, they finally said that, bless them, yeah.
They did.
They have,
and then
yeah.
Here's one that happened to me today, driving on the highway today. My husband was driving, I was passenger. And there was one of those huge sort of, you know, lit up signs on the highway that you see that normally is telling you there's rain or wind or traffic or whatever. And today it said in Spanish, alcohol lies. I've never
Wow. Did it really? Oh my God.
So I got so excited. I started, you know, messaging my friends going, oh my God. So I'm going to drive back around tomorrow and take a screenshot of it when he's driving, because I was just so, I was screaming at the sign. I was going,
wow.
Oh my God.
That's interesting.
And
love,
you know,
that.
The power of it was such a simple sentence. Alcohol lies. It wasn't a banner. It wasn't flashing lights.
Yeah.
That's what actually drew me to it first, because I looked up and I was, and then I read it, and I read it to my husband, and then I said, am I understanding that right? And he went, yes, it actually does say that. Alcohol lies.
Amazing.
And here's the deal. That will hit the subconscious here.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's the beginnings of the ripple.
Exactly.
Of
it happening. Is totally. Because that's I love that, because that's so true. When we get that, wouldn't it be nice?
No, it wouldn't.
Or wouldn't it feel lovely? And wouldn't that calm me down and reduce my stress? No.
No.
Wouldn't that help me feel a little bit more confident? No.
No, it will not. And the terrible thing about it is, as a woman is sitting out there on day 8 or 9 of a friend, one of my women, she's going to Italy on holidays. And she was like, oh, go, you know, I'm on day 49. What do I do? So, I mean, in those moments, just like you've said, she's thinking of sunshine, right? And she's thinking of terraces and restaurants and, you know, Chardonnay and whatever. And this is where we have to call a spade here, right? And often things are sugar-coated, and often things
totally.
Are meant to be soft, and lavender bath bombs and all of this. But I believe that until such time as we shoot from the hip about alcohol and shoot from the hip as to the truth about when you drink every day, be the sunshine, the terrace, the vacation, alcohol will add nothing to your Friday experience or nothing to your holiday. In fact, as you and I both know, it takes from it on every level.
Absolutely.
It takes from you being present. It takes from you and your energy, your time. It adds to your anxiety. It will actually lead to further and deeper depression. It will cause a shit show in your hormones. So if we don't keep banging that drum, women will keep coming to you and I going, oh, but God, Janie, it's Thursday. The sun is shining. I live by the sea. when you and I want to say you live by the sea, what privilege.
Exactly. Go for a walk. Yeah. You're the lucky one without the booze. Totally.
Have a beautiful cappuccino and a slice of cake. Enjoy all that you can by the sea. You don't need alcohol. Ethanol, can we call it that? Ethanol. It's literally rocket fuel, practically. And we put it in a fancy glass. And we misconstrue the fact that sometimes in those moments on a terrace, you and I are having a ball and laughing. And that's what we think the wine has done.
Yes, exactly. We absolutely. There is that real that sense that that we can't have fun without it. That we can't be social, that we can't, you know, and it is interesting. I had a conversation, we did a little meetup in the sober club, and a couple of women were quite early days, and they were nervous about sort of going out with friends for the first time. And I do get that, because, you know, the first time I went out with a small group of women, and we met for lunch or something, I didn't even know them particularly well. It was kind of a bunch of business women, but I can't deny it was odd. I can't deny that. It was a very odd experience. It was as if I was kind of seeing myself from above. I was kind of viewing myself. Who is this person? What? Who is this person who's sitting quietly, not ordering the wine for everyone? You know, not ordering the second bottle. Who is this person who's actually quite quiet? And it was odd, because I hadn't kind of found my sober identity. I didn't quite know who I was. It was odd, and I think it's really worth admitting that, because, you know, we can't sugarcoat that either. You don't go from years of drinking and being controlled by alcohol to just suddenly feeling 100% great, sleeping like a baby, having energy as a Duracell bunny, you know, and then being able to just rock your life socially and slide into everything. It kind of doesn't work like that. You know, you need a bit of a recalibration period, don't you?
That's the point. And I'm so glad you said that, because, you know, I sometimes get really annoyed that poor women go onto Instagram and they think, you know, it's all, you know, it's all razzmatazz, when the reality is giving up chocolate is difficult. Giving up sugar is difficult. Giving up alcohol is difficult. And so if we take the analysis that if we're in a coffee shop every single day and we have chocolate cake at 10 o'clock every single morning for 15 years, and suddenly at 10 o'clock and 15 years later, we stop having chocolate cake and we have brown bread, the body is going to scream and go,
The little inner toddler will be very unhappy.
Yes.
And particularly if everybody around you is saying, well, if you're not having your cake, I'm not going to be able to have mine. Look what you've done to me. You've made me miserable. And if you're a people pleaser, that's hard.
Very hard. So I think it's really important as women that we empower other women by saying the early days is challenging.
Yeah,
and really, I always say, you know, Irma, how badly do you want it? Right. Yes. So in other words, how badly do you really want to be alcohol free? Number one. Two, are you willing to do anything to have that sense of being alcohol free? If we want the sense of power, whether that is if we want to lose 5 stone in weight and have to go to the gym every single day, the discipline doesn't matter, whether it's alcohol, the gym, or chocolate. It's all the same parameters with which we need to employ to find our power. The thing is that how badly do you want it, and are you willing to do everything? And when you see the sunshine come out, you're lucky, because your people can lean into the sober club buddies and say, oh my God, I'm feeling crap. How are you feeling?
Yeah.
I feel really nervous as well. Because you and I both understand nerves. We were nervous. It was strange. I too sat on a terrace and went, who the hell is this very gentle, quiet woman, you know, sitting here ordering a cappuccino while they're having champagne? Who is she? And I think that there is a very important piece to that, is not only do we not know who we are when we stop drinking, because we've been doing it every day for however long, we don't even know who we want to be.
No, absolutely true. A lot of people, I think, go through a little phase. And I think I probably did too, actually, now I think back, because I didn't have any support, you know, and I think I've said this to you before. I now know that I did absolutely everything wrong. I didn't eat properly. I didn't do any of the things that I now know. on the one hand, I realize I could have made it so much easier for myself. But on the other hand, I'm grateful because there's nothing anyone can say to me that I haven't experienced. Because I did it the really bloody hard way, right? Yes. But I do remember a time, I can't remember the exact time frame, but I remember a period where I thought, why am I doing this again? I feel more shit than I did when I was drinking. Why am I doing it? I lost all track of why I was doing it. I didn't know who I was. I was sleeping really badly. I looked terrible. I was ridiculously emotional, up and down. I mean, ridiculous. And it was almost, why am I doing that? I'm not the kind of person that, you know, I'm not you know, a marathon runner. I've got like a challenge that I have to meet. It was, I lost sight of why I was even doing it. Something, thank God, kept me going. Something. And I was able to catch sight of that better life without. And that's the important piece. The you know, the escaping from the shit, that's the other important piece, of course. And I suppose back then that is what kept me, because I knew it had got so bad that I didn't really want to go back there.
Yes.
But yeah, it was disappointing. It wasn't all perfect quickly.
Right? Yes, because I think that, you know, when you're sitting on the Sunshine Terrace and you're day 9 or day 21 or 27, and as you rightly say, you're not sleeping, you feel shit, you feel out of sorts, and you're a bit pissed off with the universe because you're still in that stage of, you know, do I want to do that? This? Do I want to live this life? Because this is really hard. And I think that that's something that's really important to say as well. Is that, you know, in the beginning, it is challenging. And in the beginning, we really do have to hold on to our why we are doing this, right? Mm. And when we're sitting in the Sunshine Filled Terrace with our friends, we've got to zone in on the fact that the enjoyment we're feeling is because of our friends. Mm. And it's because of the connection we feel with those women and men. And the alcohol is adding nothing to the situation or occasion. In fact, it distracts from
definitely.
It. So therefore, we've got to actually zone in on the humanity of our moments in our sunshine-filled terraces as opposed to the liquid in our glass.
Mm.
I think that if we look at the people around us in those moments, well, I was like so super careful in the first 6 weeks. I didn't want to travel for work. There were people I didn't want to be around. There was no dinner parties unless they were here in this house. You know, I made all of these rules to protect myself in the first 6 weeks because I was bloody terrified of falling. I really knew how bad it could get. I got out in time and I didn't want to, like you, I didn't want to go back to those dark, dark, shadowy days. But I was really, really ruthlessly clear on my boundaries in those 6 weeks. So if I'm out there right now and I'm day 8 or day 15 and the sun is out, I'm actually not going to a sunshine filled terrace. I am actually opting to stay at home. I'm in my own garden. I'm controlling my own back bar, be that, you know, an alcohol-free gin or whatever the case may be. I'm controlling my back bar because I may be feeling vulnerable and maybe I'm feeling really nervous, which we understand, which is how I did it. I had to pass the terraces coming from work because they're all over this bloody town. But once I changed my route from work and avoided as many as I possibly could in those first 2 weeks, because I used to go there, so I didn't want to pass the ones where I used to go.
Yeah.
I genuinely spent a lot of time in my back patio in the opening weeks because I needed to be strong before I could go out into the world and take on the questions.
Yes, exactly.
That happen.
Well, that's the other piece, isn't it? No, I mean, you're absolutely right. And I think everyone has to deal with this, whichever is best for them. And if you don't want to go somewhere, don't go. Simple as that. This is the most important thing you'll ever do, isn't it? Right?
Absolutely.
The most important thing you'll ever do for yourself. That's it. There is nothing more important than this.
There isn't. And here's the point. It's the golden ticket. Yeah. And if indeed you've got into that gray space or that dark black space and you want the golden ticket, it's like anything in life. We have to work for it.
Yeah. You have to be willing. Yeah, I have to be willing to put the work in.
We have to work for it. That's the bottom line. But we work in community. We're no longer isolated on our own like we used to be when we were drinking in secret. So we work in community. So your sober club people, they're leaning in, leaning on, messaging, WhatsApping, going to a meet, doing whatever they need
to do. Yeah, exactly. Well, I think that accountability piece is really key. But what I was just going to pick up on, something you said there, which I think is really interesting, is that, you know, I again, it's something else I learned the hard way, but I now realize that, and I now advise, you know, if I'm working one-to-one with someone, if they're sort of early stages and people around them are still drinking, their partners, their friends, their family, whatever, I advise them to actually not say too much at all. Don't get involved in great long conversations about why you're doing it, how long you know what you do, because it can very quickly turn into some kind of debate, some kind of, you know, whatever it is, you're not strong enough yet to have that conversation. So I just recommend, you know, you can say, oh, I'm not drinking at the moment. I feel so much better. It's great. You know, my anxiety is much less. By the way, how was your holiday? That's, you know, it. Change the subject. Even with your partner, I recommend you lay out the basics. You know, in fact, I often recommend, say, don't even go there. Just say, oh, I'm doing a health project on the couch. That's what it is. That's the truth.
It is
a health project. I'm doing a health project. Yes. So by the way, I'm not drinking. Please don't offer me any. And no, I won't be going to X, whatever it is, on Saturday where you're up, you know, having wine tasting, whatever the hell it is. I won't be going. But so thanks. I'm just letting you know. End of.
I agree.
Whereas if that conversation is, oh, well, I've had some issues and I'm now stopping drinking. And I'm like, oh my God, that just opens the can of worms. Well, you're not that bad, you know, and on and on. So just literally don't get into it because you're too fragile at the beginning.
I agree. I think that certainly for me, the first 100 days, I said I was on a 100-day challenge and that was the end of the conversation.
Yeah.
It wasn't a conversation. It was a statement of intent.
Yeah, exactly.
I said it in a way that nobody asked me diddly squat.
Yeah, yeah. The more authentic you are, the less people can, you know, squeeze in on it, can't they?
Yes. And I also think that first, the other thing that's important is that you and I recover out loud so others don't need to. And nobody deserves to be told the whys and the where therefores unless you choose to tell them. And Brené Brown always says, choose who you're going to trust your story with, right?
Exactly.
30-day challenge or whatever you want to say that makes you comfortable. And you say it in a way that you don't invite questions.
Exactly.
And you shut them down. And I think it's not even just the fragility of the woman or in question. It's also the fact that it is nobody's bloody business.
It really is not.
In early days,
no.
We don't want to invite any conversation we're not to have.
Exactly. Because, you know, in those early weeks, we still feel a little bit, you know, as I say, I went through that phase where I'm kind of not even sure what I'm doing. So all I need is the accountability in the community of people who say, stick with it, sweetheart.
Yes. And there's
so much to look forward to.
There's another part that I became conscious of actually in early days once, and one of my best friends at home said it to me, and she was absolutely right in the early days. There is a grave misinterpretation of what overdrinking looks like, and what overdrinking ends up as being. Right. So therefore, Hollywood has gifted all of our friends and families with this image of over drinking or drinking too much alcohol in the most heinous fashion. And so therefore, they find it difficult to understand that it is somebody with a job, with a family and high functioning. Mm. Therefore, when we say we're giving up alcohol, like you just said earlier, they go, oh, my God, did you have a problem? Suddenly.
Yeah.
They're gone off into Alice in Wonderland of stories and conjecture
Of
what you and I may have looked like, right? None of it being true. So my best friend Judith at home said to me, I wrote something one morning and she said to me, I have to ask you a question. And I said, fire away. And she said, are you an alcoholic? And I went, no. And she went, okay, I know that. But there's thousands out there that won't know that. So therefore, you know, just be aware of who you're telling, because there is such a stigma attached to the entire A word. She was concerned for me that people would think, oh, my God, she's given up doing dots that weren't even on the map.
No,
that
totally.
Weren't even on the map. Whereas, and when you're in early days, I certainly was usually conscious of all of those things.
Yeah, no, totally.
So therefore, I think that part of the job of those of us that recover out loud is to actually teach and educate friends and family that actually, no, you
absolutely
don't need to lose
exactly.
Your
the
your
more awareness there is of grey area drinking, of the spectrum, the more awareness, the better it will be for everybody. Because I'm
everybody.
So sick of that. concept of, you know, oh dear, did you have a problem?
Yes.
Says the person as they're on their, you know, 15th glass.
And I hate the question, Jamie.
And saying the same shit time after time. I know, it's utterly ridiculous.
I object to the question.
Yeah, totally.
Right? I object to any friends of mine in the sober space, somebody's asking them that question. Mm. The bottom line is this, is those of us that choose to address something that was bringing us anxiety and all the ill effects it has in women, we should be applauded.
Exactly.
We shouldn't be made that, you know, the center of attention. Oh my God, did you have a problem? And I've always wanted to say, I have been asked it, by the way. I've wanted to say, no, I don't have a problem. Why do you have a problem?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm sure I told you once that when I was, I had a little party and I think I was 3 months sober. And a friend, I hadn't seen her for a long time, and she sort of said, "Oh, so well, you look really, really good. Have you dried out by now?" like I've been, you know, in the skip, you know, pouring the vodka in from a great height of a morning, you know.
Yes.
Have you dried out? I mean, what perception is that? And that's what keeps everyone stuck, because everyone else who's drinking too much will be thinking, oh, thank God I never got that bad, so I don't have to stop because I wasn't that bad. You know, and it perpetuates, doesn't it? Anyways, thank goodness that we are able to spread the fabulous messages. So to conclude, don't be worried about the sunshine. Enjoy the sunshine, right? If you want to have a drink or something, keep the ritual. Change the ingredients. Yes, sit on the terrace if you want to. Yes, have a nice glass. Yes, have a lovely time. Make sure it's got something alcohol-free in it. Why would you want poison? That's kind of it, right?
That is it. And the point about it is the nature aspect of sunshine and fresh air is so important in early sobriety all of the time. But in early sobriety, we need this injection of vitamin.
We do. Right? We definitely do.
And so therefore, we need to celebrate the sunshine. We need to reframe it and actually think, oh my golly gosh, I'm actually going to be out there on my own patio or wherever else. I'm going to choose to have this fabulous.
Exactly.
Party. Create something amazing and celebrate the moment and celebrate you.
Exactly.
You being you and not drinking today, as opposed to let's not forget and rewind maybe a year ago, maybe another terrace, another time in your life when you overdrank. I think it's often for me, I'm the kind of person in the beginning, Jane, that needed to remember the dark with the light.
Totally.
So I remember the dark so
the
that
balance.
I could create the light.
Right? Love it. Sadly, I'm out of time today. I could chat to you for easily another hour, but I'm out of time, so you're just going to have to come back.
Yes, and you know me. I love chatting to you, and I shall come back.
Yeah, definitely come back. I'm sure there's lots more we can unpick. So don't forget, if you want connection, you want support, accountability, inspiration, all of that stuff, if you want to live your best life without the booze and focus very much on the holistic picture, on the what's next, then check out the Sober Club, thesoberclub.com. It really is a very inspirational community. I know I would say that myself, wouldn't I? But it is. And don't forget, I also offer one-to-one coaching. I've also got a team of coaches who I've trained. Our next sober coach training is in October. It's almost full. So if you've been thinking about it, but you haven't made the move yet, then you're going to need to get in quick. And then the one after that will probably be the end of January, and some very exciting plans coming up around that for next year as well. So you know where to find me, you know where to follow me at Janie Lee Grace. I'm very easy to find. If you're struggling, reach out. Don't hold up. You know, despite all of that stuff we've been talking about, if, you know, you may be thinking, well, it's easy for them. It's easy for Susan. It's easy for Janie. It's not easy for me because X and Y. And maybe it isn't. But you know what? It's still worth doing. So reach out. Maybe you just need just a different perspective, just a different way of looking at something. And if I can help you with that, I will. I always try and reply to as many messages as I possibly can. So you know where to find me at Janie Lee Grace. And don't forget, let me know what your favorite podcast episodes are. Always love to know. See you soon. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.